See, self-knowledge takes place. And self-knowledge takes place. How does any knowledge take place? Knowledge of anything, any object, is in the form of a thought, which rises in the mind. And that knowledge which rises in the mind of anything, in Sanskritam, is called vritti jnanam. So knowledge of any object also is what? A thought. Is a form of a thought only. This Swamiji always says, there's no dental knowledge, nasal knowledge. There's only knowledge means only in the buddhi. Thought only. ஒரு பொருளை பற்றிய அறிவு என்ன வடிவில் எழுகிறது. Knowledge of anything is more of a thought. Therefore, knowledge of the self also is more of what? The thought only. Self-knowledge or knowledge of an object is more of a thought, which is called vritti jnanam. And that self-knowledge which rises in the form of a thought alone will remove the ignorance of the self. A simple language, physics knowledge will remove only physics knowledge, ignorance. Chemistry knowledge will remove chemistry, ignorance. Knowledge of mathematics will remove the ignorance of mathematics. So self-knowledge will remove only self-knowledge. That's enough. Self-ignorance is the source or cause of all the wrong perceptions and the problems and sorrow caused by wrong perceptions, wrong erroneous notions also. So self-knowledge rises and removes the self-ignorance. What does the self-knowledge rise for? Why should self-knowledge be there? Self-knowledge is for only for removing the self-ignorance. It rises, it removes the self-ignorance. Then after removing the self-ignorance, what does the self-knowledge do? What happens then afterwards? Does the self-knowledge sit there, occupying your mind all the time? No. Self-knowledge rises. The job of the self-knowledge is to remove the self-ignorance. Then self-knowledge also has to go. It resolves. It will not be there occupying the mind all the time. So when the self-knowledge resolves, again will self-ignorance come? No. Ignorance removed once is removed for good. Self-ignorance removed once is removed for good. The self-knowledge which rises, removes the self-ignorance, does not remain there, occupying the mind all the time. But the resolved self-knowledge will come handy whenever it is required. Understand? What does it mean? Like when we were in school, when we enter into the school, first standard, second standard, and numbers 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up to 10 to count, the numbers are so big numbers. And the teacher has to make us understand the difference between 1 and 2, and 2 and 3, different 1 and 3. And in the kindergarten classes, they'll keep on big stand, and wherein there's a, iron rod will be there, and a huge, big, we have beads, colorful wooden beads. And the teacher will push one big yellow bead, one, and she'll push the next red bead, two different colors, 1 + 1 = 2. It's a fact, isn't it? But for the child's mind, very big mathematics. 1 + 1 is equal to 2. And to learn the multiplication also, isn't it? Or subtraction, or the division, anything, so big mathematics. And the child learns in kindergarten, so 1 plus 1 is 2. Then later on slowly memorizes the mathematical tables. Then number comes like that. Every time you take your purse, you take the money, okay, and the 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, that mathematics, that fact, you understood. Until then, there was ignorance of 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. And once that knowledge has taken place, then what happened? So clear that knowledge is, it removed that ignorance for good. There's no ignorance of 1 plus 1 being 2. Then you don't, that knowledge, you don't need to remember all the time 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, 1 plus 1 is equal to 2. The knowledge took place, knowledge happened, knowledge is resolved. Understand? Knowledge took place, it doesn't, that 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, that knowledge is not there sitting in the mind all the time, occupying the mind. It has resolved. Knowledge rises, removes the ignorance and resolves. Similarly, when you in higher classes also, when you learn even any other big laws, you know, any formula, etc., when you learn also, all those you understand, and you understand it very clearly, it removes the ignorance, knowledge happens, ignorance is removed, then it resolves. No knowledge of anything. The only job of knowledge is knock off the ignorance, then it will resolve. It doesn't sit here. If 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, that knowledge is still sitting there occupying your mind, there will not be, for your mind, attention, isn't it, will not be available for focusing on anything else to learn new things. Okay? But that knowledge, okay, I have understood that knowledge has come, 1 plus 1 is equal to 2, it removed the ignorance, and it is resolved, it is not sitting in the mind occupying this place. Does it mean it is useless afterwards? Whenever you take your purse in any shop, isn't it, you have to give money, and you know how to count, how to put the money back, how much to give, etc. Okay, your knowledge of addition and subtraction, division, multiplication helps you, comes handy to use that knowledge wherever it is required. Again, the knowledge is there. That is where it comes handy. Then you don't take your money and then don't wonder, oh my God, I don't know how to give, how much to give, what is 5 plus 2. Don't ask again. Why? Knowledge is there. Is it clear? See, knowledge comes handy whenever it is required. That is the assimilated knowledge. Is it clear now? So assimilated knowledge, and knowledge rises, it removes ignorance, it resolves, then it doesn't go, it comes handy whenever it is required. Similarly, self-knowledge also rises, removes the ignorance, self-ignorance, then resolves. It doesn't sit there occupying the mind. That is why the Upanishad, this mantra, will give a beautiful example. The Thothangottayinudaiya powder, you know, the powder, dusty, fine dusty powder of the Kathaka nut, which is used to clear the muddy water, to remove the mud from the muddy water, and make the water clean. Crystal clear water, that powder is put into the muddy water. What does it do? It removes the dusty mud in the water. And the dust also, what now? It settles down, it resolves. So that example is given here. But for which, for that knowledge to take place, which will remove the ignorance and resolve, is it? For that knowledge to take place, one must be given to Jnana Abhyasaha. Jnana Abhyasaha. The word abhyasaha literally means practice. But jnana abhyasaha means what? All that one needs to do for that knowledge to rise. That knowledge rises, once knowledge rises, it removes the ignorance. The very knowledge itself is what? Ascertained, doubt-free, clear, internalized, assimilated, internalized vision, which has brought in or which will bring in the total personality transformation. If that knowledge is called jnanam, jnanavritti, what is that knowledge which removes the ignorance for good? Self-knowledge is not an experience, but how to know there is jnanam, how to know this person is a jnani? You don't need to see whether other person is a jnani. You can never know other person is a jnani or not unless you are a jnani. That is why we should never judge or even if other person is a jnani, it is of no use for you. And with the yourself being a jnani, and then to conclude this person is a jnani, seeing the miracles and certain things, okay, whatever you think, we always project. We are very capable, we are already very much inclined for projecting. Anything good or bad, whatever we project and judge about others, that's our own thinking, isn't it? So we don't need to worry about other person's jnani or not. Here, what now? My jnanam. Even for you to be able to acknowledge the jnani in other person, jnanam in other person, you should have the jnanam. Isn't it? As a blind person can never appreciate other person having vision. If you are blind, born blind, how can you appreciate the other person's vision? Other person has the very good vision of the eye. How can you say when you yourself are blind? Similarly, how can you say other person has the knowledge of the self, he is Atmajnani or Brahmajnani, when you are yourself ignorant? Therefore, it is not for judging or testing or talking about praising other person's jnanam. Okay, if other person is a jnani, thanks, well and good, namaskaram. Other person is ajnani, also don't need to worry about it. But your jnanam, what is real jnanam? When the verse says, the self-knowledge rises and it doesn't sit there occupying the mind, it resolves, it removes the ignorance and it by itself resolves like the Katakareno. That knowledge is what? The knowledge which has brought in the total transformation of the personality, wherein you can, without any doubt, you can exclude your vachyartha, you can only take the includes in the lakshyartha, aham brahma asmi, I the self am the atma, the consciousness, existence, brahman. That very, not to talk about it, that jnana must be there. Actually, I has many meanings there, isn't it? I also means body. I includes the meaning of the word I am, include what now? Body, mind, senses, pranas, and atma, the consciousness. And there when you say I itself am Brahman, that jnanam, what now? The clear vision is what? You exclude the other things and take only the consciousness. That is when that you resolve the I in that Atma, then Aham Atma. Is it that jnanam has no doubt. And that jnanam alone will bring in what? The actually internalized vision, assimilated vision, which alone blesses you with the total objectivity, wherein there's a transformation of the personality, this unaffectedness comes. That is what is real moksha. And that jnanam alone is said to be what now? Katakare navat. That is what is moksha. Jnana palayuktam jnanam. That is useless knowledge, isn't it? It must be effective knowledge, no? If there is no, jnanam does not bless you with the fruit, moksha, what jnanam is it? There is no jnanam. For that jnanam to take place, for such jnanam to happen there, what now he says, there is a jnana abhyasa, jnana abhyasat. Jnana abhyasa, he uses the word. So jnana abhyasaha is what now? Actually, all those things which involve the for such knowledge to rise. For knowledge to rise, what are all the aspects involved, you know, to have such knowledge? So jnana abhyasa actually says, first of all, conviction must be there. Conviction, that is why, you know, there may be thousands of people, lakhs of people, millions of people living in this country. Now, how many people come for Shastra Jnana? Not for possibly seriousness, commitment, isn't it? So conviction must be there. So every step there must be conviction. What is the first step, the first conviction? Jnanabhyasa involves. If Jnanabhyasa is possible, see, one can bring in all these five factors in one's life, thereby there can be Jnanabhyasa. I don't want to translate the word to practice or something, okay? The Jnanabhyasa itself, life becomes a Jnanabhyasa, which involves five factors. And for those five factors to be involved and for the life to become Jnanabhyasa, what should be there? First thing, conviction. Yes, ultimate end of human life is moksha. I have no doubt. Conviction, firm conviction, that moksha is caused by ignorance alone. Why? Because there is a real bondage is not there. The Shastram says, Aham, I am fullness, I am Brahman. But there seems to be limitation, bondage, parichinnahaiva, isn't it? Because of ignorance. And ignorance can be removed only by its what is opposed to ignorance, the knowledge, not by anything else. Therefore, I know, there's no, I have no. Second conviction is what? It is the knowledge which alone will remove my problems. Because problems are caused by ignorance means, how can anything else will remove the problems caused by ignorance other than knowledge? Understand? The removal of ignorance is the solution. Ignorance is the cause for the problems. Therefore, it is the knowledge. So, second conviction is what? About knowledge being the only means, and the knowledge itself is moksha. Knowledge and moksha are identical. That conviction must be there, second conviction. Because if conviction is not there, you will still be emotionally entangled with everything. I had to go for that bhajan, I had to go for this thing. Okay, I had to go for this, I had to go for this. Thousand things are there, you can't go everywhere. There are 10 temples in London. How many temples can you go? You should go to only one temple. Understand, you can't go everywhere. Run everywhere. 10 temples are there for people living in different places. But for you, you should have the priority, isn't it? You can't run everywhere. So you can't, your mind cannot go, that is good, that is good, that is good. It's all because of what? Lack of these convictions. There's no conviction. I have some faith in it, but I don't have total faith in it. It's a conviction. So this is, jnanam is the, jnanam and moksha are identical, second conviction. Then for that jnanam what now? Shastram is this pramanam. Shastram is the pramanam. I have total faith in the words of the Shastram. If we cannot trust the Shastram, we have no other gati. know, Guru Rushte, Shive Rushte Gurustrata. When Bhagavan gets angry, punishes you with the whole remaining in the form of law and order, punishes you or makes you go through all pains and pressures in your life, then that is anger of expressed by Bhagavan. What is Bhagavan's anger? Bhagavan is not an angry person. Isn't Bhagavan is the form of law and order. So he blesses, punishes you with the pain and blesses you with the pleasure in keeping with your punya papa what you have stolen in your parabdha. Because Bhagavan is the very law and order. Bhagavan cannot help. Like how fire cannot help, you know, when you put your finger in there, fire will burn your finger. That Bhagavan in the form of law and order cannot help you. That's very nature of dharma. If you rub the dharma, you will be rubbed by dharma. So pains and pleasures, what one goes through in life, are ordained by law and order, Bhagavan in the form of law and order, dharma. Therefore, what happens? Bhagavan, it is said to be what now? Anger of Bhagavan. Shive Rushte. Then who will help you? Who can protect you from that? Free you from prarabdha. Teaching. So, Guru Strata. Guru is the protector. How? By teaching you the Swarupam, it helps you. But Gurau Rushte Kopinatrata. You know, by Guru, he means Shastram only. Shastram, we cannot have faith in Shastram. Nothing in the world can help you because Satyam, this faith, again conviction. We are not forcing anybody. One has to think, who's one's buddhi wants to come here. There is no fanaticism here. Okay, Shastram. It's a conviction. Iti Pramanam. Because Shastram doesn't contradict your reason. If it anything, Shastram forces you to accept what is not agreeable for reasoning, what contradicts your reasoning, is a pain, isn't it? It doesn't force you to, Shastram doesn't enforce anything on you and makes you feel constrained that to force to accept what is not agreeable, what contradicts your reasoning. Therefore, Shastram is the Pramanam, that conviction, third step of conviction, the third step. And then faith in the words of what the teachers teaches is in keeping with the Shastra. Nothing is from teacher's own stories. There's no emotional blackmailing on it. Teacher can never, a genuine Shastra teacher, one who plays, you know, can never emotionally blackmail you by using all some sweet and nice words and all those things. Whatever the teaching is 100% from what the Shastra says. While Sampradaya has unfolded, that faith in the conviction, no? And the fourth stage, fourth thing also. Every step, there's a fourth step, there's a conviction in the fourth step. Thereafter, all these things are there, but still, okay, I don't blame the teacher, I don't blame the Shastram, I don't blame Bhagavan, I don't blame anything. I have conviction, four steps I have conviction means, I have 100% conviction what now? My mind is the jnana patram, isn't it? The instrument of knowledge is the mind. Whatever it is, any knowledge should take place only in the form of a thought, in the mind alone. Therefore, this atma jnanam or brahma jnanam, Bhagavat Sakshatkarha also should take place only in the mind, and that mind must be what now? Adequately sharp and adequately what? Balanced and relatively pure and steady. The mind is not adequately pure, adequately steady. Why? Because the mind is what now? Already ajnana kalusham. The mind is already polluted, not really polluted, seemingly polluted. Why? Because having the falsely transferred impurities of the mind, isn't it? Falsely transferred. It's already falsely transferred the impurities of the mind to the Atma. And as the way what already mind is, mind has all these problems. There will be ignorance being there, sense of inadequacy being there, and the desire being there, needs being there, ragadvesha. It is a ragadvesha, kama, krodha, lobha, moha, mada, matsarya. They are all in different degrees. Every ajnana mind has at least the slightest degree of these impurities. Okay, all our prayers and all our worships and all our the effort to try to be decent really protects us, really. What effort to be decent protect us from even expressing our the cruel mind outside, really protects us. therefore the malam is called malam. Every man has malam, impurities, and the impurities have to be managed and kept in check. It's called relative purity, antahkarana shuddhihi, isn't it? Which is called what now? Removal, mala nivrittihi, is otherwise called antahkarana shuddhihi, which will happen, without which jnanam will not take place. And mind is so agitated, so restless, and so distracted, and so scattered. There also what now? The mind must be focused and steady for this, for this jnanam to take place. So jnana yogyata patram bhavet, isn't it? Mind should become eligible for that jnanam to rise. For which mind must be what now? Free from unsteadiness, free from also impurities. So there must be removal of malam, it's called mala nivrittihi, has to happen by what? Antahkarana shuddhihi, by mental purity. And similarly, there will be mental purity if there is mala nivrittihi. And this is also what now? Vikshepa nivrittihi. The vikshepa means what now? Many thoughts rising, so many thoughts which are raised in the mind, you know. And too much of thinking, we think too much sometimes. Get confused. Too many thoughts, too much of thinking. Every small thing will frighten you and too many thoughts will come. Isn't it? It's all sometimes manayeva, I tell you, amazing. Vikshepa. Vikshepa means too many thoughts being thrown up in your own mind. And therefore, the more the thoughts are, the more unsteady will be your mind, more agitated the mind is. Okay, thought frequency must be what now? The speed of the flow of thoughts, okay, must be maintained by what? Only by reducing the number of thoughts. Have the more and more thoughts arise, and the faster will be in the movement flow of thoughts. The faster is the flow of thoughts, then what happens? Agitation. It is called agitation, isn't it? So that's also unsteady mind, fickle mind, flux, is it? The mind. So for which? That's called vikshepa. The vikshepa nivrittihi is called what now? Steadying, removal of the unsteadiness, agitations in the mind, which is caused what now? Steadying of the mind, which you can call it integrated mind or steady mind. Therefore, ajna, you have to take place, all nivritti only, removal. Mala nivrittihi should happen, then vikshepa nivrittihi should happen. Both will go means there will be what? Antahkarana shuddhihi and antahkarana naischalyam. In Sanglish we call it mental purity and steadiness. Then only mind is eligible for understanding, grasping, retaining, remembering, or not to be confused. You have to work simultaneously. That what is the only, how to prepare this mind. Therefore, living a life, Shastram prescribes, teaches you, living a life of Karma Yoga. I am not going to explain here how to live a life of Karma Yoga. That's not the lesson here. We'll do it later on. But living a life of Karma Yoga is for malanivritti and being meditative, being worshipful and prayerful is for malanivritti and also what? Vikshepa nivritti, which implies being meditative of Ishvara, conscious of Ishvara. Understand? Is what now is also help you what? Mal anivikshepa nivritti. For which upasanam is a upasanam. So karma yoga is for malanivritti. Upasanam is for vikshepa nivritti. So karma yoga is for antakarna shuddhi and upasanam is for antakarna naishchalyam, mental steadiness. This is simultaneous, should go with what? One should live a life of karma yoga with what? With commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. What should one do for jnanam? For ajnana nivrittihi, shravanam, listening to the subject matter of the shastram is the only way for shravanam. So what is now karma yoga, upasanam? What is the third factor involved here? Jnana abhyasaha means all the five together. Karma yoga, upasanam, now Vedanta Shastra Shravanam. How should one listen to subject matter of the Shastram? Systematically, regularly, continuously. Isn't it? For a length of time, for a given length of time, with the commitment, with the help of the competent teacher, listening to the subject matter of the Shastram, Vedanta Shastram, without raising anything, questioning, just to go and with all submissiveness, one should listen to the Shastram. That's called what now? That only that continuous listening will slowly, slowly, slowly enhance one's clarity and will help one to have what? Jnanam. So, for ajnana nivrittihi, for the removal of ignorance, to have knowledge, Vedanta Shastra Shravanam is the only means. Conviction. Conviction. Krishna, acceptance is, I am not ready enough for jnanam, but I am not going to sit and worry, oh, when this is going to happen, it's what difficult to live. Immediately we say, it's very difficult to have a Ishwarpana buddhi, very difficult to have some samatta buddhi, very easy to tell others. Immediately we talk back. There's never humility to accept. Let me try this. Let me understand how I can have that samatta buddhi. We never think that way. How to have samatta buddhi? How I can have samatta buddhi? Why can't we pray for samatta buddhi? Instead, it's very difficult to have samatha buddhi. That's why Shastra Shravana means no talking back to Shastram, okay? Just listening. That is why in India, when somebody tells something, they will ask this question, and Ipari Veda Vaka, why you mean to accept without anything playing back? No, in India, when somebody comes and tells, and the other person will not listen, and he'll ask back, oh, is the Veda Vaka? Is the Veda for me to accept it without questioning back? Why? Because when Veda says something, we don't question back. That is the conviction. Okay? Then our culture is there. That is why even now today in our expressions we have that. In a peri Vedama, we will ask this. Oh, what you are saying is Veda was for me to accept it. That means what? Somewhere in the culture, it is there in the roots that we should accept anything Veda says. Isn't it? It must have been there once upon a time. That has to come back in our buddhi, okay? If we don't accept Shastram, Shastram does not lose anything. We will be the losers. Anyway, so Shravanam. But even our Shravanam, blesses you with the jnanam, which removes the ajnanam, but that knowledge itself is not immediately, fruitful. Isn't it? Why? Because our own still, the knowledge is there, but that knowledge is still not assimilated knowledge. And so many other doubts also will be there. So what? By repeated listening, having done to some extent listening, repeated listening, one has to recollect and reflect on what has been heard, understood and retained. And as one reflects upon what has been known and understood, and the doubts also will resolve. Understand? Any amount of doubts you have, naturally will resolve. How? Only after you have done Shravanam for length of time, you have some understanding and you dwell upon what you have understood repeatedly, then naturally the doubts will resolve. Shastram says it. Only then your understanding is correct. The doubt should resolve. Then there's a conviction in what you have understood. When Shastra Shravanam will bless you with the knowledge, but still knowledge without conviction is there. But Mananam will bless you with the same knowledge with the conviction. Same knowledge is now with the conviction. Is it clear? And what is conviction is there? Yes, actually, Vachartha, now from the standpoint of empirical reality, empirically, I am an individual with all limitations, different from the Lord. But absolutely, from the standpoint of Paramarthika Drishtya, the standpoint of absolute reality, there is no doubt I am non-different from Paramatma. Is it? That clear knowledge. Therefore, other than me, the Paramatma, then there is no, it's very difficult for one to understand, to accept this. But it's a fact. To understand this fact, we are studying Shastra. Then this vision should what now? It is not simply to say. So because it's not that difficult, because we're so used all these days worshipping the Lord outside as an object, praying to the Lord outside as an object, and always seeing the attribute, sort of the one with the attributes, praying for so long, suddenly, even though you understand very clearly, it doesn't contradict your reasoning when you understand it. Wave and ocean are one. Wave is ocean from the standpoint of the truth, the H2O, logically. Now you understand it. Like similarly, it's also understand here. It's an absolute reality. I am non-different from the, I am the whole. That vision is a fact you understood, but still there's no internalization of that vision. So the assimilated vision. For internalization, you had to constantly, when can you effortlessly, constantly remind you of the fact? Your knowledge is not with the conviction, then how can you constantly remind you of the fact? Isn't it? When I say I see effortlessly the light, when I see every opaque object, similarly, isn't it? Like that, one's own sorupa, for one to have the understanding without any doubt, with the conviction, that conviction must be there, that knowledge with the conviction must be reminded by oneself, all the time one should remind oneself of the fact continuously. Effortlessly also, doesn't involve any big effort. the knowledge is without any doubt, then constantly reminding oneself of the fact which one has assimilated is effortless. But still, isn't it effortless? Why do you need the mental preparedness is there? And that is called what now? Nididhyasanam, which alone will result in the transformation of the personality, what now? Unshakable personality. Nothing really will shake you. Because it is natural for us to be shaken by every small thing. I am not saying being shaken is wrong, but being shaken is weakness. And not being, it's called emotional stability. Mental strength, absolute mental strength. That does not mean you are a stone-hearted person. In fact, the strongest person will be the softest-minded. You know that? Strongest person is the softest and the most compassionate person. This is true. You know that the more compassion you show to others, with objectivity, without being shaken by things, who can do that? Isn't it? That now, that is called moksha. Nididhyasanam alone will result in that jnanam. But nididhyasanam should be preceded by what now? Which is called contemplation, preceded by mananam. Mananam will not be possible without the shravanam. And shravanam and mananam will be effective, consequently result in nididhyasanam. If there is what? The mental purity and steadiness also are taken care of simultaneously. Okay? Mental purity and steadiness with the shravanam alone will result in jnanam, conviction, knowledge with the conviction, and what now? Total transformation of the personality through nididhyasanam. Is it clear? Which is moksha. So, karma yoga, upasanam, shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. All these five aspects together constitute jnana abhyasaha. Do you get it? It's a very important lesson what I'm saying. And here, this jnana abhyasaha should be taken as what now? Life's project. The project itself is very clear. Then you can go, what now, with all conviction, you can do the needful. And then this project can be taken, is what now, one journey. And this project may end in this life, or may end in next life, or may end in many other lives, doesn't matter. With the conviction, with all the convictions at, in every step, you understand these five factors and you live a life of karma yoga, means proper attitude towards everything in life. It is the attitude, okay, prayerfulness, worshipfulness and proper attitudes. And living a life of karma yoga with the pursuit of knowledge, and then the journey will be comfortable. You will not be worried, bothered about when is the destination going to come. If the journey is very, very unpleasant journey, the question might rise, oh Kadavule, when is it going to end? The journey is a very pleasant journey. You will forget about your destination. Just be in the right track, the right vehicle, and a pleasant journey, it will take you to the destination of moksha. Understand? This is the proper This is how understanding this jnana abhyasa and living one's life in keeping with the Vedic injunctions, but living a life of Vedic way of life as sanatanaha dharmaha. We don't need to worry about all the time, it's all my prarabdha, when am I going to end this prarabdha? I have prahanchitam, I have agami, and I have to do this, and when is this going to come, when am I going to attend moksha, when is knowledge going to take place, and I don't know, I can finish the Shravanam Mananam, I don't know how to do this. But conviction is so clear. This is what now, relative freedom. If there is no relative freedom, then there is no way of accomplishing absolute freedom. Understand? And then, our Shastra students, people who talk too much, and whenever we are with the people who are of the nature of diverting and taking away to too many other things, very careful, quiet, without finding fault with others, we should move away. Because any distraction, understand, especially discussion of politics, discussion of other things, you do the needful when the question of voting comes, be conscious and alert, do your duty. But unnecessary distractions and disturbance, these things, because Vedanta Shastra students, you know, when you see everything with a different perspective, isn't it? Then you change. It's called Jnana Abhyasa. Why I'm repeating this today, I didn't explain this Jnana Abhyasa. I might have explained. I don't know what I read. I didn't put correct, because of the word Abhyasa. I was just thinking, because literally it's a given practice. You have to practice. I don't want to translate the word to Jnana Abhyasa. Okay? This knowledge which is like the Katakareno implies what? One being given to the Jnana Abhyasa, living a life committed to the pursuit of knowledge, which involves 5 factors. So, never ever keep away from the Shastra Shravanam. Shastra Shravanam alone will continuously keep you in Karma Yoga, help you to be meditative of Ishvara, way how to see Ishvara Bhagavan all the time, at the same time Dharma, and also what? You are with the Shastram, listening again. Every time you are repeatedly said, like a Kita Brinda Nyaya. Now, there's a big trunk of the tree as a hole, and inside the hole, the insect goes and lays its eggs there. Okay? And when the eggs really break, and the larva, that the worms come out, the worms come out of the hole, it falls down, then other birds or something else will eat it. But the worms should not come out, it should be there until it gets the wings, it becomes a full-fledged insect to fly out, to escape. So the mother insect will sit, it lays the eggs, and what it will sit, doesn't want the worms to come out and fall and die in the larva stage. It wants the worms to become full-fledged insects with the wings to protect themselves. So the mother insect sits in the hole, blocking the hole and preventing them from coming outside. But the worms do not know, poor worms, like our babies, naughty, they'll come out. Again, crawling, they come out to the hole. And the mother insect will what now? Eat it back. Go inside. Go inside. Go inside. Go inside. Go inside. Kita Bringa Nyaya. Understand? So, Shravanam, be in Shravanam, Shastra Shravanam. That every day the teacher will be teaching what? No new lesson. Tattvamasi. 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 You go out what now? No, I'm not Brahman. I'm an individual. Worried, sad, sapana, lamenting, grieving, individual. Come back to the class, no tattvamasi. Isn't it? So, that's the nyaya. That's what? Jnanabhyasa. Okay. And that, for that knowledge to take place, which is like tikatakarenu, one should be given to the life committed to the pursuit of knowledge. Life committed to the pursuit of knowledge means all these, you should know the five factors, important five factors. How they all contribute.